Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We have in studio today Lori Beth Jones, best-selling author of 14 books. Leading our discussion this week, we continue to look at Jesus Entrepreneur. And so delighted to have you back in studio with us, Lori Beth. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Shelley, for hosting this show even while you're caring for your mom in Camarillo. You're always facing up no matter what is going on.
Well, as unto the Lord, I think, is what we're talking about today, right?
Yes.
So if we look at everything coming at us and around us and through us as unto the Lord, doing it as unto the Lord, wow, how can we falter that, right?
Right.
So we also have with us on this show today, very, very excited to have coach, spiritpreneur, lover of people, lover of God, Kim Skaggs with us. Welcome, Kim.
Greetings and salutations. Good to be
here. We were talking in the pre-show a little bit about how Kim brings so much insight and fun and laughter and wisdom into these discussions. So we will just have a ball here today with Kim on this show. I know that it's going to happen, and delighted that both of you are here. So thank you very much. We are moving into this third section of Jesus Entrepreneur. This book is divided into the launch, the lurch, the lessons, and the love. We are over halfway through into this third section called the lessons. Wow. This is the place that I think you noted here in this first chapter where we scratch our heads, take two steps forward, one step back, and say, have I seen this rock before? Have I been around this bush? Is this still the same bush that was on fire a week ago? So it's just these two chapters are just a very interesting place to jump into the lesson. So talk to us a little bit, Lori, about this third section of a leader's life or a spiritpreneur's life, an entrepreneur's life. What do you want to convey in this section of the book? What are you trying to tell us about?
Well, I think that as fire leaders, we want to get there, and then we get frustrated when we are not getting there, when the team is holding us back, when, as you said earlier, it looks like we're going in circles. And I think it's important to note in reading scripture through history and also studying history, there is a pattern that, you get excited about your new venture, your new calling. God has spoken to you directly, and you go right to Pharaoh, and you are in the launch phase. You know that you know that you know that this is what you're supposed to do and that what God has shown you is going to come true. And then you march into Pharaoh, and he looks at you, and he says, no. And now you're in shock because it didn't happen instantly, like God told you it would, or like you thought you understood it would happen. Now you're in the lurch phase, which is not only are you not where you wanted to be, you're worse off than you were before because now the people are wanting to stone you that you're trying to lead because Pharaoh doubled the burden of the Israelite slaves and made it worse. So suddenly Moses is looking bad even to his own team. So that's the lurch phase. And then from there you move into the lessons where why did the Israelites have to spend 40 years in the wilderness when it was just a matter of miles? Well, I've heard many teachings on this, and I agree and believe that God had to prepare them for the promised land. They needed to get grounded. They needed to get centered. They were still slaves in their minds and in many ways acting like children. So in order to prepare them for the promised land, they had to learn some lessons. I read a quote once that said, whom the gods would destroy, they bless with instant success. And we see time and again that happening with lottery winners or for child actors who get it all too soon and then they just can't handle it. So it's a blessing when things don't happen instantly, because God knows what we can handle, and that's how it is many times parsed out for us. So that's what I wanted to convey in this section, that it's not about despair. It's not even about denial. It's about deepening, deepening the walk with God, deepening the lessons, deepening wisdom. That's what this section is about.
Very, very great. Any thoughts, Kim, as we jump on to these two chapters?
No, I'm just meditating and thinking about her statement. They were slaves in their minds. I'm anxious to get into this. He spent time in Egypt section.
Right, right. Lori, I'm going to ask you to EQ your phone just a little bit. You might be on speaker, but we're getting some significant echo and bouncing from you. So I don't know if you can adjust that or not. But
okay, is this better?
Yeah, that sounds better.
Okay.
Let's just look at this first chapter in the lessons. He did everything AUTL. Wow, that's a funny word. But we know it's an acronym for As Unto the Lord. So as you begin to write about these principles in this section of the lessons, starting this section, the lesson section, As Unto the Lord, I think is a significant step. Talk to us about doing everything as unto the Lord.
Well, the word, it's a new word that I made up, and it's audle, like you audle be doing this right now, Jackson. So we audle be acting like this. As unto the Lord, it's a wonderful reminder that there is one judge of our work, ultimately, and it is not our spouse or our neighbor or our boss or our coworker or even us. It's God. And Paul admonishes us to do everything as unto the Lord. And it's a great way to consider your circumstances so that they don't bind you into resentment. Like Joseph, even though he was in prison, even though he was falsely accused, even though he was sold by his jealous brothers, he kept doing everything as unto the Lord. So it doesn't matter what your geography is. It doesn't matter how crummy your coworkers are. If you do things as unto the Lord, you're going to be rewarded and noticed. And I think that's a very important principle, because so many of us believe that we are surrounded by people who are less than we are, less intelligent, less hardworking, less whatever. So we don't want to dumb down to their level. We want to lift up to God's level.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. Wow. There's a statement. You ask a question in this section. Do you think Jesus was a lousy carpenter? Wow. That was that one kind of jumped out at me as saying, everybody's mission, everybody's task, everybody's purpose is important. And sometimes we look at our talent, our gifting, the work of our hands, and we say, I should be doing something greater than this, or I should be doing something different than this. Or, but you point out in this example of, asking the question, the powerful question, do we think Jesus was a lousy carpenter? Wow. Was he just making chairs and tables for Joseph and Mary? No. Wow, there was a bigger purpose in the work of his hands and his mind. And I'm sure you can take it deeper and wider than that, Lori, but just a powerful thought that if we look at the place and the things and the time and the resources that we bring to offer to the offering, to the table, and we present those as gifts of our work, of our hands. We can be proud at the end of the day that we're doing what God has called us to do.
Yes. To that, a hearty yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear what Kim thinks about this audible word.
I think it can be applied in lots of areas of my life. You know, as we're talking about audible, you know, doing everything unto the Lord, I think it just boils down to doing everything we do with excellence, whether it's our vocation, whether it's loving people, you know, whether it is mowing the grass. I had a washing machine repairman come to my house today to fix my washer for like the fourth time in 2 years. We won't go there. But, you know, I'm really glad that he was doing his job as unto the Lord. At least I hope he was doing it, because he did it with excellence. I wouldn't want somebody to come in here and do it halfway. And, you know, in reflecting on this chapter, Lori, you know, what really spoke to me was the conversation you had with the young man who, you know, declared his mission to be a financial ambassador for the Lord, but, you know, had such poor credit himself. He couldn't even manage his own finances. And I had a conversation with a friend the other day who shared with me about a minister in my city who is divorcing his wife. You know, he stands behind a pulpit each week preaching on the love and the grace and the forgiveness of God, that has evicted his wife from their home on the ground she's holding him back spiritually and ministerially.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, and the sad thing is that both of these people, I'm sure, would say that they love God and they want to make an impact on the kingdom, and they are. Unfortunately, it's a very poor one.
Yes.
So, you know, if we're not applying biblical principles in our own lives, if we're not paying our bills as unto the Lord, or loving our spouse or our families unto the Lord, how arrogant are we to think God will expand our boundaries or our borders and give us greater influence over anything that he values, you know, especially things pertaining to people?
Yes. And as I was rereading this chapter in preparation for the show, it really struck me again how this is not about legalism. And all of us fall short on a daily basis, including myself. It's really about, like Shelley's word, the offering. You know, what's the spirit of the offering?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, Lord, you know, I'm the little drummer boy and I don't have anything to give you, but I'm going to play my drums. Is it that kind of spirit? The widow's mite. Jesus noticed not her money, but the spirit with which she gave it.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. And you know, if we think that we can skip over the little things to get to the big things, which is a very wind and fire orientation, by the way, speaking
mm-hmm.
as one, you know, let's blow this popsicle stand and, you know, get to the good stuff, Lord. That's just not the way it works. And Jesus had really strong words for shepherds who did not take care of their flock. And God really is angry when shepherds do not take care of their flock. And part of that care meant every day they had to examine each sheep to make sure they didn't have nicks and scratches underneath the wool that couldn't be seen with the naked eye, but could only be felt. And so that means that loving, careful attention to detail, attention to nicks and scratches and little cuts, that's what shepherding is. Not, hey, I'm going to build me a mega church, you know? Quite a difference.
Exactly.
Wow. You have some other powerful questions in this section, Lori, talking about as unto the Lord. And one is, can you think of an example where you recently did your work as unto the Lord, or when you didn't do your work as unto the Lord? You know, I think those are probing questions into our spiritual life, into the making of a leader. If we're talking about in this section and on this show, the difference between Omega leadership and other kinds of leadership. I think one of the things that we step from is, you know, using Jesus as a role model, bringing both the beta style and the alpha style together in this kind of mixture, adding this omega piece. And so, you know, as a leader with any team, any organization, any size, the leader that you just mentioned, this pastor in your city, Kim,
mm-hmm.
What is it, ladies, that helps us to, you know, like Flint, keep this perspective on as unto the Lord when we have days where we did our work as unto the Lord, but then we have these days where we don't do our work as unto the Lord? How do we keep that, Lori, I know you're going to say focus. How do we keep that focus as unto the Lord when there are numerous distractions for our attention?
Well, I think we just need to be constantly reminded. And I had to remind myself today because I was thinking, oh, man, this applies to me. Because as you know, I'm working on two different manuscripts, and I've been working on one for about a year and a half, and I'm so tired of it, and I'm starting to double vision. You know, didn't I already say that? Scripture, didn't I already write this? And so the wind in me just wants to hand it off and say, here, you guys figure it out. I'm tired of this. But I realized that this is the work that only I can do. And when I am doing that work, I really need to be doing it as unto the Lord. Nobody else can write this manuscript right now.
Mm.
And I need to do it. Go ahead.
And you need to do it. Finish. Go ahead.
As unto the Lord.
Right. Well, I think that could be one of the interesting keys that we're talking about is it's a work that only you can do, only I can do, only Kim can do. And so if we're stepping from the philosophy that each person in the world has a significant contribution to our world, you know, to our country, to our nation, to our state, our city, our local, you know, if we believe that, if we're stepping from that place, then taking what you just said, Lori, and really making sure that the work that I am doing is only work that I can do, right? That is, boy, that's an awesome leadership perspective, I think. Sometimes we try to do things that really are not our giftedness. They're really not our giftedness. And so we do them as unto ourselves, maybe for ourselves or for the praise of ourselves. Yeah, I don't know. For whatever reasons, but I think that is a great place to kind of linger and think about. Is this the work I'm supposed to be doing?
Yes.
Wow.
I remember reading about a congressman, or actually a senator, who would take the train home every night to be with his young children. It's actually Joe Biden, who is a wind, by the way. But anyway, when they asked him about it, he said, you know, the state can have another senator, but my boys will never have another father.
Mm.
And so he made this daily commute, and in a really poignant and tragic tale, his first wife and children were killed in a car accident before he became a politician. So he was doubly aware of the privilege of being a parent and a husband.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Let's jump over, Kim. I know you are chomping to get into Egypt. take us there. What's on your mind as we share about he spent time in Egypt?
Well, again, Lori, you know, made reference earlier to them being slaves in their mind. And as I was reading over these pages, which I just thoroughly jazzed me, I was provoked to stop and think about how mindsets play such a role in our journeys. And while I totally agree with you, Lori Beth, that much can be revealed to us in our metaphorical Egypts. And I believe God programs into all of our GPSs, if you will, a trip or two around the pyramids and the Sphinx. I also think that we, like the Israelites, often park a lot longer than necessary to learn the lessons or gain clarity of our weaknesses and or our strengths. And as you just, you know, spoke of earlier, you know, we've heard so often about the Israelites taking 40 years to make an 11-day journey. And I wanted to share with you guys this practical example because, as you both know, I recently had surgery. And I got such a revelation today in reading this. But at 14, I had enrolled in a judo class, which resulted in a shoulder dislocation.
Oh.
And, yeah, and over the past 40 years, and I'm telling my age here, and I don't care, I have had repeated problems with this shoulder, making more visits to the ER than I can count. So after the last dislocation, which happened about 6 weeks ago, an ER physician informed me that if I did not get this surgically corrected, I could very well lose the use of my arm.
Ah.
So faced with having surgery or being, you know, the one-arm bandit, I elected to have the surgery. And while it wasn't fun and I'm still recuperating, never again will I have to deal with an emergency run to the ER to put my arm back in the socket. But here's the lesson, and I realized this today after reading this chapter. While I have read the scriptures over and over and have been taught, you know, about these foolish Israelites who made the adventure out of Egypt into Canaan a lot harder than it needed to be, I have done the exact same thing.
Hmm.
Not only that, but much to my chagrin, I too have done it for 40 years. Because we can reason, and we can and do reason anything away. But instead of addressing this shoulder problem 20 years ago and saving myself tons of pain and money and distress, I kept walking around the wilderness. What, when, where, how? I put the surgery off because of dread and because of inconvenience. And what I should have done and have now done 40 years after the fact is address the problem. And I think, you know, as I was reading this, how many of us have been wandering around with family issues or marital issues or financial or physical or emotional issues for 40 years or longer. And this is what I realized. God didn't keep me in Egypt. I kept myself there. Mm. And interestingly, Lori, the scripture you quoted is Matthew 2:15. I have called my son out of Egypt.
Mm.
God is calling all of us out of Egypt. It's a nice place to visit, but we shouldn't want to live there.
That's so powerful.
Well, you know,
let me interject. I just need
ahead,
to interject for our friends who might be in Egypt or from Egypt. The term Egypt, when written about in Scripture, meant a place of bondage, not a literal. So
yes.
Egypt is certainly on the cusp of amazing freedoms and has amazingly beautiful people. So we wish the very best for Egypt. So here we're talking about a place of bondage.
Metaphorical. Mm-hmm.
Heck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead, Shelley. You were going to say something?
No, I was just like wowed by that intro, Kim. Very well said. Lori, you end this chapter of the lesson, obviously, in a way that lets us know that Jesus spent time in Egypt, whether obviously for real and then metaphorically. Because we do spend time there. This is for the lessons are learned.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we use your scenario, Kim, about the shoulder dislocation and now this recent surgery, what are the lessons? What are the lessons over the last 40 years from just a female perspective and then, you know, from a mother perspective, from a spouse or from a leader, obviously you've been a pastor. You know, there are probably different leadership lessons over these last 40 years as a result of your even your insight today.
Yes. Yes. Well, again, you know, why do we wander? I mean, obviously we have seasons of being called to this place of reflection or even called to a place of challenge. But again, I think a lot of times we get locked into this land, and it can be profoundly revelatory when we're in this place, and God allows it, and I think God sanctions it often, but we aren't supposed to live our whole lives there. And unfortunately, many of us do. I mean, like I said, when I saw it on paper, 40 years, I've done this for 40 years. And what's so funny and what's so arrogant is, you know, I used to, those foolish Israelites, I mean, come on, they should have gotten out of, you know, the wilderness and gotten over into Canaan. What was their problem? And I'm like, oh, my God, this is me.
Well, we can take heart in the Lord restoring the lost years. That, whenever I look back at wasted time, I think, oh, well, the Lord will restore the years that are lost.
Yeah.
Make it happen now. Oh, my phone is ringing there.
It seems like from a leadership, from an Omega leader perspective, we're talking here again about lessons. And there's lessons to be learned, you know, in spending that time, in looking at, you know, the manna for a little bit. You know, let's just sit here and evaluate the manna. You know, our daily blessing of food. You know, okay, well, let's not focus on that too long, because, you know, now I'm thinking that the grub back in, the other place seemed a little bit better. And so as leaders, both of you are strong female leaders in your own rights. You know, how long is too long? How long is too long in Egypt?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's one to ponder. You know, what makes us move? In Kim's case, it was a threat of loss.
Yes.
And Kim, you're a fire, right?
Yes.
So fires are threatened by loss. For water, what might have worked would have said, oh, you'd be able to pick up your children, you know, or you'll be able to lift up your grandchildren, or, you know, you can lift up the puppies easier. For wind, it could be, now, you want to be able to throw that ball, don't you? You know, there's just different approaches. But God knows what it takes, and eventually we'll get there. Now, we can save time if we can figure out that question and ask ourselves the question, what will happen if we do not do this? I was at a party the other night, and we were talking about best lines in songs. And one of my favorites is the Tracy Chapman song from Fast Car. We either leave tonight or live and die this way.
Mm-hmm.
So powerful.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I was just going to say, Shelley, that I think when we're in that place and we start to realize that it is no longer serving us. It's no longer serving us. Is when we start to realize that, you know, maybe it's time to move.
Right.
I've visited here as long as I need to, and I've learned what I needed to.
Well, think about the leadership. Got 60 seconds. The leadership styles of the prophets and the apostles, and, you know, think of Jesus himself. 30 years, and then boom, he emerges onto his ministry platform. Think of Saul, turned Paul, you know, spent a good 12 or so years in Tarsus getting ready for his ministry platform. You know, so Egypt, I think this lesson is about, there is time needed to be spent.
Yes.
And I think what you're saying is, how long, you know, how do we measure that, and how do we know when it's time and it's not serving us? We've got to step up. Okay, here I come. You know, here's the platform that I need to move out on. So, Lord, We've got 10 seconds, Loy Beth. Give us your final thoughts here and send us off.
Well, I'm hoping that this aut will be enough for everybody. A-U-T-L. Everything as unto the Lord, including skedaddling out of Egypt, because God is calling you out of bondage.
Wow. Thank you both so much, Kim and Loy Beth, today. We'll be back next week to talk more about Omega Leadership.
Thanks, thank you, Shelley. Thanks again, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Great show.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.